With emergency funding drying up, the Greek government sends a letter to creditors saying it might accept terms of a bailout. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. With banks in Greece closed and an International Monetary Fund loan that is now past due, Greece's government is sounding much more conciliatory today as it tries to secure new emergency funding from the rest of Europe. The Greek government has sent a letter to Brussels agreeing to most of Europe's last terms, but whether those terms still apply remains an open question. BBC business reporter Sarah Stolarz is in Athens. Thank you for joining us.
No worries. My pleasure.
Greece may have sent a letter agreeing to the bulk of Europe's terms, suggesting that a new bailout might be at hand. Are you hearing any confirmation of that there?
It would seem that Greece's Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, has now offered new concessions to the creditors, effectively accepting almost all of the conditions on the table before the talks all collapsed. There are a few little points that he's kind of disagreed on, but essentially they're all accepted. He said he's prepared to accept a deal.
And where does that leave the public vote, the referendum that is set for this Sunday on the last set of conditions that Greece was offered?
Well, that's a very good question. And I'm going to quote to you what Wolfgang Schäuble, the German finance minister, has just said. He said that Greeks cannot accept or reject an offer on Sunday because it no longer exists. People on Twitter and people we've spoken to are saying the yes or no vote on Sunday is irrelevant because the damage has already been done.
And some of that damage is the banks have been closed for several days now. What is the situation? I know people supposedly can withdraw up to the equivalent of $66 a day.
People have been queuing quite steadily at ATMs since the bank holiday started on Monday. Although I would say that the atmosphere is calm. We were outside a bank this morning, which some bank branches have been opened today in Greece to allow some pensioners to collect money that don't actually have bank cards. People were expecting perhaps a little bit of trouble. There were some policemen outside, but it's all been very calm. But there is a steady queue of people.
All right. And there have been reports that the European Union is not inclined to keep the emergency liquidity, the emergency funding going just to prop up the Greek banking system. You know, we haven't seen any banks there topple at this point, but there must be some concern.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is really a waiting game. At the moment, the ECB is holding a meeting now in Frankfurt. We're yet to find out what will come from that. But yes, of course, people are very concerned here.
BBC business reporter Sarah Stolarz in Athens. Sarah, thank you.
My pleasure.
A $28 billion cash and stock merger today in the insurance business. Chubb Corporation of New Jersey will merge with Ace Limited of Switzerland. The Ace CEO will lead the resulting company. Chubb stock is up 36% in pre-market trading. Ace is up 12%. $1.15, the year of the high U.S. dollar. Today, a euro costs just under $1.11, with the dollar up again, even with hints of some kind of interim resolution in Greece. This hurts the way profits of U.S.-based multinational companies are booked. So why, then, does a high dollar seem to make corporations look better, according to another key measure that investors love to watch? Here to resolve the paradox is a man who knows his way around a balance sheet, Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
It's an article of faith that a U.S. company doing business overseas, when the dollar is strong, that shows up when you take a look at their quarterly reports as hurting their profits. But you're saying that if you're trying to figure out if a company's doing better or poorer, that you've got to be careful of this notion.
Right. This, what they call currency translation, reduces the reported profits. But something called a currency translation loss, which I will not attempt to define,
Don't bother.
Reduces the company's net worth, which we call here, because we're classy, equity. And it does not run through the profit and loss statement. So what happens is you have lower profits, but you also have a lower net worth. So your return on net worth looks better. See, isn't that great?
It does look better because, look, a lot of people, when trying to compare companies, look at the famous return on equity. That is a big measure that a lot of people glom onto.
Right. And it's also a big measure in figuring out how much the CEO gets paid. So, you know, here is this bizarre piece of accounting that I learned about actually from my friend Jack Sizelski of the Analysts Accounting Observer that makes the net worth smaller. And all things being equal, if it doesn't reduce the profits and it makes the net worth smaller, the return compared to net worth is bigger.
But the point is, be careful with return on equity because the high dollar could be distorting what you're seeing.
Exactly so. So if you're looking at two companies in the same industry and comparing return on equity, you better make sure to take the deterioration of the equity into account. And as we say, that's the bottom line.
Gotta just adore accounting rules that take a high dollar, which is actually eroding the value of your overseas profits, and turn it into a positive.
Well, you see, that's why you're not an accountant.
And that I am not. Alan Sloan's also a columnist for The Washington Post. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And you may remember Esso/Exxon's slogan, putting a tiger in your tank. Now there's word United Airlines is going to run a flight from L.A. to San Francisco this summer fueled by tanks of animal waste, at least in part. Biofuel from a company it's investing in called Fulcrum Bioenergy, 30% from manure, etc., 70% regular jet fuel at first. But the idea is to ramp up the percentage of the renewables. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.